Sermon title today is Point of Reference. So turn with me to begin with in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're not going to stay there for very long, but if you would turn with me there to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and I know that many of you have got this scripture memorized. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, and verse 17 says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Now in verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation." The NLT says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." So new, brand new. It does not mean that you have been renewed. It does not mean that you've been renovated. It does not mean that you are reformed or rehabilitated. When you and I accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are spiritually born again. In their life, the unbeliever has to deal with three deaths if they have not accepted Jesus. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You haven't been a reformed person, but you have been born again by the Spirit of God, that you are a new creation. People that have not accepted Jesus, people that are still out in the world and do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have to deal with three deaths in their life. Maybe you've never recognized that before, but turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to go through each one of these. We're not going to spend a lot of time on them, but we're going to go through them. So when you go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And you who he made alive, who were," what? "Dead in your trespasses and sins." The death of sin. Because of Adam's sin, the entire human race is spiritually dead. You have heard Pastor Leo say many, many times that God is not in the business of making good people out of bad people. He is in the business of making live people out of dead people. Because you were dead in your trespasses and sins until you come to the knowledge of the truth and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you were born again, brand new. Spiritually, the show The Walking Dead, that used to be on TV, I don't think it is anymore, is closer to the truth than the world would ever realize. That's the first death. The second death is a physical death. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, and it says this: "And as it is appointed to men to die once, but after this, the judgment." It is appointed for man once to die. We're talking about a physical death here. If the Lord Jesus returns and captures the bride of Christ away, then we don't have to face that physical death. But if the Lord tarries, each and every one of us are going to face that physical death here on this earth. As believers, if Christ would return, we would not have to go through this physical death, and that's the second death. The third death is found in Revelation chapter 20. So go with me to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. Revelation 20 and verse 11. We're going to read quite a bit of Revelation 20 and 21, but they're so beautiful, and I know that you would enjoy it. So in Revelation chapter 20, We're going to go down to begin with at verse 11. So Revelation 20, verse 11. If you have a heading on your Bible, it probably says the Great White Throne Judgment. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face of the earth and the heaven fled away, and there were found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire." This is what? This is the second death. "And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now we go to chapter 21 and we start with verse 1. In verse 1 it says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them, and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. They shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.'" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5, it says, "Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega.'" Who's the Alpha and the Omega? The Lord Jesus Christ. "The beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to who thirst. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. They shall be my daughter. They are the righteous. They are under the blood of the Lamb." Hallelujah. Verse 8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual, immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in lake which burns with fire and brimstone." This is the second death. The second death, we talk about it, is an eternal death. It's an eternal separation from God. So death number one is a spiritual death. Those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are dead in their trespasses and sins. The second death is a physical death. The third death is an eternal separation from God. Now go back with me to Ephesians chapter 2 again. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going somewhere. Hang in there with me. Now Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 1 again, and we're going to read through verse 10. So it says in verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." That's who you were. That's who you were. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you had a worldview perspective of life and everything around it, and everything was around, revolved around you. And we see that going so much in the world that we live in today. And it's so sad in the world that we live in today, the things that we should be concerned about, the things that we should be worried about, the things that we should be praying about and living our life for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we got in the court system where we're fighting over whether kindergartners and sixth graders ought to have books that show sexual details and also all this gender revealing stuff. What is going on with people's heads? Are we just completely lost our mind? Why is that an issue? Why do you think that kids that are in kindergarten should have access to books that are sexually explicit? Why do you think that kids should be reviewed and talked about in kindergarten through sixth grade of deciding what their gender is and what they're feeling and what they're going through and whether they're going to decide or whether they're going to be a boy or whether they're going to be a girl? And we need to be concerned about the Word of God and living to the truths of the Bible and not what man wants. But when you're a child of disobedience, you just think that that's exactly what you should be living your life. And this is what he says. This is what we were, but this is what we are today. Yes, I am still, Pastor Leo, is still a sinner that has been saved by grace. I will always be a sinner that is saved by grace. I will always have things that I will be working on, but you know what? I'm under the blood of Jesus. And because I am under the blood of Jesus, I will not taste that second death. I will not appear before the great white throne judgment because God is my Savior. Amen? Amen. So in this scripture again in verse 2 of Ephesians 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together, made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Today, for us that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are children of the Most High God. Romans 8:17 says that if we are children, then heirs of God. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 brings out that it calls us that we are of the household of faith. Heaven is our home. Now, when we look at verse 6 today, it says, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It says, spiritually, you and I today are seated with Christ in heaven. This place is not my home. I live here physically, but I am only passing through. The scripture says I'm a sojourner. In Hebrews 13:14, it says, here there is no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What does this all mean? Those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior have been born again spiritually, that we are seated with Christ. Our point of reference is no longer this earth. Our point of reference is heaven. The world only has here and now. This earth is their point of reference. Everything is about them, what's going on around them, what's taking place in their life, what's taking place in their workplace. The point of reference in Webster means this: something that is used to judge or understand something else. So point of reference in the Webster dictionary means something that is used to judge or understand something else. As a child of God, my point of reference is heaven. The scripture tells us that we should be more heavenly minded than earthly minded. Now think about that just for a moment. In your life today, are you more heavenly minded than you are earthly minded? Are you more stuck on this earth, or more that what you do on the earth is gone as a reflection of your life in the Lord Jesus, your life in heaven, and the things that God wants you to do, the choices that God wants you to make, and through those choices, through God's desires, that's how I function in this life today. But too many Christians are not that way, are they? Too many are more earthly minded than they are heavenly minded. And that's the challenge of the scripture today and the challenge of the word today, is that this church, you as a body of believers, will become more heavenly minded than you are earthly minded. And we're going to get into that, and people say, well, how can I be heavenly minded? I've never been there. How can I believe that I'm going to walk on the streets of gold when I've never seen them? Because we say at Crossroads Gospel Church that we believe in the Word of God, we stand on the Word of God, we profess the Word of God, and because God's Word is true, I know it's there. It's true. Amen. That's what I reflect off from. I reflect off my belief, my trust in God, because God is faithful. No, I've never seen the streets of gold, but I'll tell you, one of these days you're going to come up there and Pastor Lee is going to be skipping on those streets. And you're going to be skipping with me, praising God and worshiping God. I know that for a fact, because the Scripture is the Word of God, and it's God-breathed. It's God's breathed His words into our lives that we can believe it, that we can trust it, because it is impossible for what? For God to lie. Amen. Praise God. Now, if we look what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 again. And once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Before that you were saved, everything was about the here and now. What I want to accomplish, what I want to do. But now that I'm saved, it's about what God wants, His desires in my life today. So let me ask you, are you all about what you want? Or are you all about what God wants? If it's about God, then your point of reference is heaven. And He tells us over and over in the Scripture that our point of reference should be heaven. Now turn with me to Colossians. Colossians and chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, when you look at verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Listen to verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. You know, so many times we feel that our fulfillment in life is always found here on earth in something. But we get deceived thinking that next rung on the ladder, that next position at work, work will never do it. You remember that a few weeks ago we talked about what identifies you. Your workplace does not identify. Your health restrictions does not identify you. The challenges that you face in life does not identify you. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is what identifies you. And because you're identified with Him, that you're part of the blood-washed strong of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a child of God. And if an heir, a co-heir. I am a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah. Not in the future. Right now, I am a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ because of my faith that I placed in Him. My fulfillment in life is found in Jesus. It's not found in the world. Well, we need to hear that every day, don't we? We need to look in the mirror and say, you know what? My fulfillment is not going to be found in this day. It's not going to be found in this world. My fulfillment in life is only found in Jesus. I need to remind myself of that. My viewpoint and my look at life needs to be, my point of reference is heaven. So an example of heaven as another point of reference, turn with me to Matthew 6. We're going to look at several scriptures right now. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we go down to verse 19. Verse 19, Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on heaven, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in steel. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's a heaven perspective. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 12. We're going to stay in the Gospels for a little bit. Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, and this is the parable of the rich fool. So you go to Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Verse 16 says, then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? Look, watch how many times he says, I. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and marry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself is not rich towards God. This rich man, what was his point of reference? His point of reference was here on this earth, here and now. He wasn't thinking about eternity. He wasn't thinking that someday he was going to stand before the judgment seat of God. He was only thinking about what I need to do now that's going to bring me all the pleasure and all the joy that I ever wanted. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, we have the parable of the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, you go down to verse 11, then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed into a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all there arose a severe famine in that land and began to be in want. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, the prodigal son's point of reference was here. Dad, I want it now. I want what belongs to me, I want what comes to me, and I want it now. And he found out that the point of reference of this earth was deceiving. Satan has offered, through lies and deception, everything that you would need, and all your fulfillment is found here on earth. What did Jesus say? Be gone from me. Be gone from me. He used his word of God to defeat the adversary because he knew that Satan was lying. Year after year after year after year, people in the United States, people all over the world, are being lied to, thinking that all of their fulfillment and all their satisfaction is going to be found here on this earth. It's not going to be found on this earth. It's only found through Jesus. Amen. Only through Jesus. It's the deception of the adversary to keep people moving and on chasing that carrot like that donkey did, always trying to get to it, never trying to get it, trying to deceive you from the real truth. And the real fact is that people need to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. No one is born to go to hell. All have been born to go to heaven. But Jesus stands as the mediator for that. We must accept Jesus. How many people, do you think that life only exists with you getting up every day, going to work, and the only thing you're looking forward to is retirement, and you hope then there will be enough money that will take care of you during retirement, end up in a nursing home somewhere, living in an area the size of a closet, that you think that that's life? What, is that what life's all about? That is not what life's about. Life is about our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter where we are at, our point of reference needs to be heaven, and we need to be more heavenly minded than we are earthly minded. Amen. Now turn with me one more scripture. I know I'm going on quite a while. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. The prodigal, I won't finish that story, but you know that the prodigal came to himself, and he knew that he realized what he was missing out on. Luckily for him, it wasn't too late that he recognized that. But in Matthew chapter 6, when you go to Matthew chapter 6, you see the Lord's Prayer, or what we call to be the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, in this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, is that a heavenly perspective? Is that the heaven is a point of reference? It is. Because he's desiring for heaven to be done on earth, everything to be done on earth as it is in heaven, that heaven rules. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's all about heaven being our point of reference. If we're still confused, I live on earth, but I'm not of this earth. You get that? I live on this earth, but I am not of this earth. God has a plan and a purpose for my life, and it is not of an earthly value, but a heavenly value. But I have to have a job, people say. I have to have a job. I have to pay my bills. I have to make a living. And all those things are absolutely true. Yes, we live in a world market system. So let's look at it this way. What percent of my life and what I do has eternal value? What percent of my life and what I do has eternal value? Well, let's name some things. We can name church attendance, CE, my prayer, my devotion, my Bible reading, my witnessing, my testifying to others. What percent of my life is involved in these eternal valued things? And the challenge is in 2024, what needs to change? What needs to change in your life that the percentage of things you do has more eternal value than earthly value? If your goal is to be rich, more power to you. But that is not going to bring fulfillment. The things that we do that have eternal value, the witnessing, I hear people that share with me, well, I went and saw so-and-so the other day. Who got more out of that? It wasn't them, it was you. Because all of a sudden you were in ministry. And all of a sudden, when you have ministry go out of your body, the Lord fills you up back up with more ministry. It's living water. It's the flow of the gospel that is in and out of your life. Think about what was the flow of the gospel out of your life today, and what is the inflow that's going to be this next week? What is next week, and what is going to be the week after that? Involve yourself in the kingdom of God. It is not found through the works of man on this earth. It's found through the hand of God. Let us pray. May we not leave this challenge behind. I know that, Father, in the new years, many people make, I'm going to make this resolution. But help us to make a conscious decision to be more heavenly minded than earthly minded. Be with us. If there's going to be those that are going to be church family members out on the road, that your traveling mercies would be upon each and every one of their lives, that, Father, you would keep them safe. And, Father, I pray that you would gather us all back together as soon as possible. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you all. Have a great, great new year.